Start. We'll call the meeting of the Agriculture and Rural Economies Committee for today, Tuesday, February 24th. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming in and participating in our hearing. Just a little bit of announcements. Today we've got an interesting schedule talking about Senator Rosen's bill on micro farms or small farms, and then we'll have a, since it's a bonding year and we have bonding requests in for RFA funds, so I thought it would be good that we talked about RFA, and because it's a little bit of a different animal as some of us on the bonding committee are learning, but talk a little bit about that and the situation there. Thursday this week we're planning on an energy session for agriculture here, and Senator Rosen, you're chair of the Energy Committee, so we appreciate all the help your committee has done. And I know that you had talked about earlier about having a joint meeting, so did you want to say anything about that, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it would be a very smart, prudent thing to have a joint hearing on the natural gas industry, the background, the forecast going forward, and I think that was something we've talked about. And I don't have the date in front of me, but energy follows this, and I think we could probably, you know, get a few together on that. There is a national speaker coming from D.C. to speak on that.
I think, Senator Rosen, we were looking at a week from Thursday, if I recall right, but we'll have more information for you members on Thursday. We did, just for your background, Department of Ag, we did ask them to do a study on propane, natural gas, sorts of things, and the supply infrastructure we have here, and because there are some concerns out there in rural areas about it. So Senator Rosen and I have been working on the energy issues, and that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about. So I want to keep that in mind as you plan your schedules, that we will be talking about more energy issues as we go. So,
Mr. Chair, are you doing energy and ag on Thursday, this coming Thursday?
Yes, we are. Okay. We're going to be talking about wind energy, biofuels, that sort of thing. So,
wonderful.
See what happens.
Great. Okay.
With that, we don't quite have a quorum yet, so we won't move your bill right now at start, Senator Rosen, but why don't you go ahead and proceed in explaining your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Did I tell you you're my favorite Valentine in this room? That's not for me, Mr. Chair.
Glad
I'm going to turn this
from you instead of somebody else around here.
There you go. You're more than one's favorite.
Thank you. You're one of my favorite neighboring senators, too.
Mr. Chair,
now, excuse me, Senator Rosen. Now we have a quorum. If you'd like to move your bill,
I would move that Senate File 1713 be recommended to pass and sent to finance, I believe.
I think we'll go to finance with it because it is a little shift in money. They'll want to see it, so we'll do that. We'll send it on to finance for you if it passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, everybody in this room is my favorite Valentine, though, too, Mr. Chair. Do you remember a couple weeks ago I asked for an ag bill? Well,
yeah, you did.
Request was granted, and I really appreciate this bill from the department. It's Senate File 1713. It's the Immigrant Minority Farmer Microloan Pilot Program. So this is a pilot program going forward, and the purpose is to create a new tool within the Rural Finance Authority, RFA, which you're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing more today to assist with the immigrant and minority farmers with small short-term microloans. And it can be used for working capital and purchases of different supplies. As you know, the immigrant and the minority farmers are a small but growing population in Minnesota's ag economy. It's a very important population. The Department of Ag just co-hosted the 7th Annual Immigrant and Minority Farmer Conference this month, but this sector of the population faces many barriers going forward, and that is, number one, just getting access to credit. So it's very important that they are able to establish a credit rating or credit history, And with this microloan pilot program, we can do that, give them some support. There are several other things in the bill. It talks about an intermediary institution with secure training for the loan recipients and set the loan terms. That's in Section 4, Subdivision 2, if members would like to take a look at that. I think that's very well explained there. That's new language. Talks about the specialty crops and the eligible livestock. That is new language also. And it also eliminates the agroforestry loan program, Senator Saxhog, and the funds are transferred to the revolving loan account at RFA, but the loans are still available.
Okay.
So with that, Mr. Chair and members, I have just several testifiers here, and I'm not sure if
Commissioner Borbrum.
Yes,
start.
Okay, the Commissioner Borbrum, Jim Borbrum, would like to testify. I don't think Greta is going to.
Welcome, Commissioner. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jim Borbrum, Deputy Commissioner with the Department of Agriculture. Senator Rosen has very well described the kind of the terms and the conditions of the bill. The model for the delivery of this low-cost financing to immigrant minority farmers builds on the same models that we already have established within the Rural Finance Authority, in that we partner with commercial banks or members of the Farm Credit System for the Rural Finance Authority. In this case, for this microloan pilot program, we are looking to partner with an intermediary. That intermediary most likely would be a cooperative or a foundation or some entity that has a working relationship with this clientele. Commercial banks and Farm Credit System might qualify as an intermediary, but for the most part, I think this is going to be a co-op or somebody that already has an existing relationship. The purpose of the loans are described in the bill. Again, it would be for working capital or small equipment or the purchase of livestock. As the Senator mentioned, we are asking the intermediary either to provide technical assistance or offer access to assistance. And this might be in crop production systems or livestock production systems or business planning. And ultimately, the goal would be to make sure that if their business grows beyond the capacity of this program, then they could access credit through the conventional means that are available for traditional farmers. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members, I'll just be available to answer questions. I know there's other people to testify.
Okay, any questions of Deputy Commissioner Borbrum? Senator Kelash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, how much with this change, I don't see a fiscal note on it, how much is it would become available?
Yep.
Mr. Borbrum.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we would be redirecting $225,000 that's in the existing agroforestry loan program. And quite honestly, the program would still be in place. We're just moving the money that's narrowly dedicated to the agroforestry loan program into a larger revolving account or a larger pool. And then this microloan program would be able to draw funds from that pool. $225,000 would be the initial investment.
Okay. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rosen, Commissioner. And what is currently being done with the forestry monies? Are they being accessed regularly? Are we going to be inhibiting any work done in the ag forestry program?
Commissioner?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Senator, that's a very good question. I think the agroforestry loan program has been in existence for about 7 or 8 years. And quite honestly, we've had no loan applications for that program. Primary reason for that lack of application is that the statutory language requires that that the lender have a security interest in the real estate. This is for like hybrid poplar. And that has been a barrier, and we just haven't had any loan activity. And so given the fact that we've had limited or no loan activity, we're comfortable redirecting it for this purpose.
Okay, I think next
Mr.
on the
Chair?
List,
yep.
Senator Rosen.
I have Reginaldo Hazlett Marquin. He's from the Northfield area, Executive Director of Main Street Project.
Welcome to the committee today, sir. Please announce your name for the record and and tell us what you think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin. I run the Rural Enterprise Center Program for Main Street Project, and I'm a farmer in the Northville area.
Great. Go ahead.
The work I do with minority farmers is primarily concentrated on Hispanic farmers, but we coordinate with many other minority groups to identify those opportunities in the marketplace that could make it possible for small farmers, specifically minority farmers, to be successful. And in the process of doing that, we have identified that there are emerging systems that support the culture of these immigrant communities. Also, there are markets that are growing that support those traditional farming methods and are growing at a rate that is beyond what the current capacity of small farms have to supply such opportunity. In that context, we have also identified that one of the reasons that is truncating the potential of success for a lot of these families who want to farm, know how to do it, and can do it in a way that is a bit different than conventional large-scale farming. Some of those barriers are identified primarily from the lack of access to technical assistance and training and access to land. Those two barriers, although significant, are easier to deal with at a community level and through programs of the kind that I direct. When we come to the issue of financing, that is a much larger challenge. It isn't as simple to organize local resources to meet those demands and to continue to build those bridges that can make it possible for these families to move from their current profile as immigrant families with no inherited land, no inherited financing, no inherited knowledge of the conditions of this environment, this ecology, the market, the business management, and all of those things that are critical for their success. Financing, then, making it structurally accessible is a key priority. Structurally accessible, we mean that it isn't coming from conventional structures that currently don't meet the needs and conditions of the farmers that we are talking about. This accessibility and structural modifications necessary can come in the form of bridging, so ramping up their ability to access credit so that they can move on, like Assistant Commissioner said, into the more mainstream access to credit. In the context of doing that, this bill has come to our attention from the beginning, as well as other efforts going around in our communities to match some of these efforts so that we can improve the capability of the impact at the community level. And I believe this is one of those bills that will not only create access to a small amount of resources, which is significant by itself, but more importantly, it states a purpose and states an environment in which this body of government is considering this population a valuable component of our rural landscape, and consequently wants to invest in the future of our communities by stating through this program that this is important to us. To me, this is the most value from the bill. The money is very important because without that, it just doesn't have any of that other impact. But we plan to use this action as a major statement of where we are headed in the future of rural communities and the participation of minorities that are currently structurally limited in their access to the opportunities. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions of our testifier? Well, Mr. Haslett Marroquin, is that pretty close?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We wish you good luck and success. Buena suerte.
Muchas gracias.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we also have Lai Vang, the Executive Director of the Hmong Women's Association.
Very good. Good afternoon, Ms. Vang.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Please state your name for the record.
And then my name is Lee Vang. I am the executive director of the Association for Advancement of Hmong Women, Minnesota. I'm a refugee myself to United States after the Vietnam War, and I'm also a farmer myself, time to time here after I arrived in United States. I've been working for the Association for Advancement Among Women Minnesota for 20-some years, and the organization will have been exist for more than 32 years. I'm here today is to supporting the Senate bill file number 1713, immigrant and minority farm here. So my agency, we've been working with a Hmong farmer in my refugee farmer in the Twin Cities since 1980s. We have experienced and learned that there is a great need and it's a great challenge that the Hmong farmers who are facing in the Twin Cities here and also states of Minnesota. With this small loan, even give a lot of benefit to help the Hmong farmer to increasing the knowledge, education, and business planning to help the farm to grow in a better way in the Twin Cities here. As we all know, we've been calling minority and immigrant farm, but actually it's a refugees. As of the farmer who are currently farm here in the Twin Cities or state of Minnesota, majority of them are refugee from Laos after the Vietnam War. Due to the lack of education, knowledge, and skill in factory industry, and minimum wage of the earning from the company that the parents are working, the farm is one of the second or the third income helping the refugee people to maintain inequality life in the Twin Cities here, and also helping the children to gain the education through college tuition and to help them with a scholarship. And this is very important. Due to the economy crisis for last several years with the refugee and immigrant people in the Twin Cities, the number of farmers has been growing very high. When I first started the project here in partnering with Minnesota Food Association and Legal Farm Actions and more farm agencies, we have helped number of farmers under 25 and 30. Each year, is the number of the farmers has been growing up to 100 to 200 and 300. At the present time, we have more than 150 people in waiting list for lands to grow the crop for the farmer market here in the Twin Cities. With this small loan, will help to meet the needs for the farmers with number of equipment that they need to do better in the farm. Also, will help these farmers to build the business plan. The two things most important that we have learned recently with hundreds of farmers we've been working with and providing assistance and technical assistance right on hand on site of the farm and also service that we've been working with is the equipment, example like a tiller, tractors, a small tractor that they can work with. Number two, these farmers were highly struggling with the business planning to help them to do better with the farm business here in the Twin Cities. And with the growing number of the farmers, it will help us to change our community, also to bring the economy to a better shape within the family and our community. So I'm here to supporting the bill and looking forward to work with you all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ms. May. Any questions from the committee?
Sorry.
So you were very young, coming from the Vietnam War period then.
I came here when I'm 19 years old. I'm also serving during the Vietnam War when I was 12 years old, recruiting. nurses for American CIA. So that's what I'm. That's how I got here. Oh,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your story. Thanks for your support.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rose.
Thank you. I also have Mr. Paul Coles with AgStar that would just like to make a few comments.
You know, I don't think he was screened by the committee to
testify.
For those of you that don't know Representative Coles, he and I served together in the House back in the day.
I believe we were elected together, Mr. Chairman. I also, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in my time around here, I one of the things I did learn, I didn't learn many, but one of the things I learned is you shouldn't filibuster your own bill when things are going well, so I'll be very brief. I want to thank Senator Rosen and the department for coming forward with this legislation. I'm general counsel at AgStar Financial Services. AgStar is one of three farm credit associations serving Minnesota farmers, providing services, including lending. We're very supportive of the intention behind this bill, and we certainly encourage members of the committee and the department to work together and move this forward. We believe at AgStar and Farm Credit believes that anything we can do to provide capital to these farmers and help them get started is a good thing. Obviously, our interest is in seeing them become successful farmers and grow their operations so that someday they may be interested in and eligible for more conventional financing. We think things like this to help them get their feet beneath them and get up and running are exactly what we should be focusing on with the limited state resources that we have. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the only I don't really have any specific comments about the bill other than I would encourage the committee to look to make this program as broad in terms of the eligibility as possible. The definition of which crops are eligible, what type of livestock farming is eligible. Just encourage the committee to consider whether that's as broad as it should be. We'd certainly encourage the committee to make that as broad as possible so that farmers, regardless of their type of operation, can qualify for these programs. With that, Mr. Chairman, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here on behalf of Minnesota's Farm Credit entities and encourage the committee's support. We'd be happy to answer any questions. And you're one of my favorite Valentines, too, Mr. Chair.
Oh. All right. I know your wife said to pass that. I know your wife. It's me. Any questions for Representative Coles from the senators? Thank you very much, sir, for coming in. Great to see you again, Paul.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Yep.
Senator Chair, Rosen. Thank you. Glenn Hill, Minnesota Food Association, is not here, but Susan Stokes, the executive director of the Farmers Legal Action Group, would like to testify also.
Great. Welcome, Ms. Stokes.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and tell us your thoughts.
I'm Susan Stokes, and I'm the executive director of Farmers Legal Action Group. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for holding this hearing, and I want to thank Senator Cohen and the Department of Agriculture for bringing this bill forward. Just briefly, our organization is a nonprofit law center. We were founded during the farm credit crisis of the 1980s. We've been working with family farmers, providing legal support and to them since 1986. We began working with Hmong farmers about 7 years ago when we got a call from a Hmong farmer who had some issues, and he had a lawyer. We talked to his lawyer, and we said, well, we see a lot of Hmong farmers in our community. How many Hmong farmers are there in Minnesota? At the time, the census said about 40,000 Hmong in Minnesota. He said, there are 40,000 Hmong farmers in Minnesota, which gave us an idea that there was an unmet need here. And we all know that you can go to the farmers markets here in town, and more than half of the vendors are Hmong American. This bill is important for a lot of reasons, and I view it primarily as an economic development bill. One thing that we don't always consider is that farming is a job, and you know, we're all about job creation these days because it's a very important part with our current economy. We have been working, as Ms. Vang said, with farmers who have lost their jobs during the economic downturn and their children who have lost jobs. And they're turning back to what they know, which is farming on a small scale. And they're very good at it. But they are lacking in access to capital. So this does fill a huge need. And it's a growing need. There are more and more immigrant populations who are joining us in Minnesota. The 7th Annual Immigrant and Minority Farmer Conference that was just held 2 weeks ago, we had 275 immigrant farmers or prospective farmers. And we just keep outgrowing the space every year because the interest is high. And it makes sense because many immigrant populations or refugee populations, when they come here, they're not equipped with language skills quite yet, and they don't have a lot of skills that transfer here, but they do know how to farm, so they can start being economic contributors immediately upon arriving here. This bill targets a very specific need. Most immigrant farmers cannot access traditional sources of credit because they don't have a credit history. The existing federal programs tend to be for larger scale farmers, and these farmers don't want a $100,000 loan. They want a $5,000 loan or a $7,000 loan. And currently, a lot of the families that we work with, they borrow from within their family. So it's very resourceful, but it is not building a credit history for them. And the long-term economic goal is for the families to be stabilized, eventually buy their own land, and with 3 years of credit history, they're eligible for applying for an FSA farm ownership loan. So there are a lot of good reasons to support this bill, and I just want to stress that the small amounts that are available through this, a $2,000 or a $5,000 or a $10,000 loan, can make a huge difference in the life of a small-scale farmer. If you can buy a drip irrigation system or a rototiller so you don't have to pay someone to till your land, you're becoming more independent all the time. So unless there's any further questions, I just want to thank you for having us today.
Any questions of the testifier? If not, thank you very much, Ms. Stokes.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair, it is a good bill, as you can tell. I was just asking you, the Deputy Commissioner, if there was any other programs or something that could be explained to help this population, whether it's business planning. There's the Minnesota Grown program, but perhaps, you know, if they think of something, I kind of asked them on the spur of the moment, and perhaps the Commissioner would like to say something.
Commissioner Barbu.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, again, Jim Borbom, Deputy Commissioner, the type of assistance that's available to all Minnesota producers would be under our Marketing and Development Division, and an example is our Minnesota Growing Program, which is very successful. We have some sustainable ag loan programs, a low-interest loan programs through sustainable ag. We have a few grant dollars that are available, so those are, you know, some current opportunities, but as we go forward, we'd certainly look for new opportunities.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Okay. Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I move again that Senate File 1713 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you very much, Senator Rosen. All those in favor of said motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passed. Thank you,
Thank
Senator.
You very much, Mr. Chair and members. I really appreciate it.
Well, I forgot to ask if anyone else in the audience wanted to testify. I would do that now, but sorry about that. You got to jump up to the table quick or the chairman's not going to come. I guess. Who's going to talk to us from the department about the RFA program today? Jim, are you going to come up? Okay, good. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Barbum, you know, we have a bonding request in. Maybe you want to go through a little bit of the history of the RFA program and explain to us some of that, and then maybe talk a little bit about the type of bond in this and how it affects how that would affect all of the discussion we're having now in the bonding program.
Yep.
Commissioner?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. You should have a fact sheet in your packets that would essentially be titled Rural Finance Authority 2012 Bonding Request. I'd like to just give you a 5-minute overview of the history of the Rural Finance Authority, how we partner with our agriculture lenders to deliver the programs, and then just tell you a little bit about our experience with the loans. Minnesota Rural Finance Authority was established in 1986. Its purpose is to develop the state's agricultural resources. It was a program that it was initiated during some very hard economic times, some very tough difficulties in the farm economy in the mid-'80s. And it was largely designed to restructure loans that were undersecured or non-performing loans. Since that time, since 1986, there's been other programs added to the Minnesota Rural Finance Authority. Today, there are five programs that are funded from the sale of bond proceeds, and I'll talk more about that later. But the programs are really now targeted toward not only people who need to restructure a debt, but to beginning farmers or farmers who want to or need to upgrade a livestock facility, or those farmers who may want to install a state-of-the-art livestock facility. The Minnesota Rural Finance Authority partners with about 420 agriculture lenders throughout the state of Minnesota. Those lenders include commercial banks, community banks, as well as members of the farm credit system. Those partners initiate the loan request, work with the customer to initiate the loan. The documentation that we receive at our office is the same documentation that the lender would require. We can turn around those loan requests within 10 days. The model that the Rural Finance Authority uses is simply to buy a portion of that real estate loan, and these are real estate loans. They buy a portion of the loan. They offer a lower interest rate, which is a fixed rate for 10 years. That improves the cash flow advantage for the farming operation. It also improves the credit risk for the agriculture lenders so that the risk of that credit is shared with the Rural Finance Authority as well as with the originating lender. The reason we're asking for bond proceeds, or we're asking for the legislative authorization to sell bonds, is that the proceeds from the sale of the bonds are used to purchase the loan participations through the Rural Finance Authority. The principal and interest receipts then on those loan payments then are deposited back into a dedicated fund, and the Department of Management and Budget sweeps that fund every December, every year, and uses those monies to repay the debt service on the bonds. So this is not a revolving loan program, but it looks like a revolving loan program. It's just that we need authorization to sell bonds, and then once those bonds are sold, the Rural Finance Authority pays back the debt service on those bonds. The Rural Finance Authority has had great success financially, and on the bottom, on the first page of the fact sheet, you can see that. Out of more than 2,600 loans that have been issued over the 25 years of the program, for about $178 million, we've had losses of only about $279,000 or 17 loans. So that to me is an amazing track record. I think a lot of commercial lenders will look at that and wonder how that happened. And I would offer one possibility is that quite honestly, it's a very diverse loan portfolio, and we have, again, confidence in the ag lenders to make a right credit decision. Sometimes they're, again, they're entry-level producers, but they know their customers, they know the character of those families, they're like second and third generation farms, and so I think, again, I have to give credit to the lead lenders that originate these requests. The section of the sheet that talks about details, again, highlights the five loan programs that are offered through the Rural Finance Authority, the basic loan program, as well as the Ag Improvement Program, again, to help improvements to the farm operation. The Restructure 2, that's the first program that was authorized back in 1986, and then, again, the Livestock Expansion. In every case, the Rural Finance Authority will buy 45% of a qualifying loan, and again, offer a fixed rate of interest for 10 years, and the amount that the Rural Finance Authority would purchase is $300,000 on the basic seller assisted and ag improvement program, and then under the other two programs, the Livestock Expansion and Restructure 2, that purchase is up to $400,000. The only requirements, again, is like with all of the other loan programs, is that they be in a Minnesota resident, they be in the farm business, or have an intent to farm, and there are some net worth limitations or eligibility requirements as well. So, looking back 25 years ago, I don't think I anticipated that this program would be realize the success it has, but it's, again, it is user finance bonds, and it's a great credit to the partners that we work with because they are the ones that originate these loans. And I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of the committee? Again, these are user finance bonds, and maybe Jim, you want to explain a little bit more about that, and the difference with the GO bonds. When we talk about the bonding bill, and we talk about the size of the bonding bill, for example, there's generally we talk about GO bonds, and these fit in another category. And I know the governor has included $33 million for this in his bonding proposal, but maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Commissioner, and how that fits in as our thinking when we think about the size of the bond and various portions of it.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The size of the bond or the size of the request that we're asking is really driven by the level of loan activity that the Rural Finance Authority has. We underwrite about $10 to $11 million in loans per year. About two-thirds of those loans are toward that basic loan program or beginning and entry-level farms. This $33 million would be sufficient monies to get us through fiscal year 12 and 13, as well as provide another year in reserve. We're currently sitting on about, $13 million in cash, but we have, out of that $13 million in cash, we've got $5 million in loan commitments that we've made that haven't closed. So if you back out that number, it's about $8 million in cash. So, you know, again, that's the size of that $33 million is driven by the loan activity. I think your Senate counsel could give us some further background about how there's a constitutional authorization about, that allows the state to sell general obligation bonds. That's a unique provision in that Constitution for the purpose of developing agricultural resources. A bond counsel that we worked with have consistently said over the years that is for real estate purposes, or those are production loans, real estate loans only. And one of the requirements is that it have a security interest in that real estate. So,
yeah, Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned about general obligation bonds. I also like to point out that these still are general obligation bonds. It's just that they are user finance, and they have a specific clause in the Constitution that provides for them. And so basically, usually in a bonding bill, we require a 60% vote. Those are for public improvements. For these bonds, you're not required to have a 60%. You're required to have be a house filed because of the property tax provision. So it's fairly unique. We've carried this before in non-bonding bills too, because it can be done in a non-bonding bill because it doesn't require the 60% majority in both the House and the Senate to pass it. But I'll just read. It was basically a provision that was put in during another troubled time in this country in the 30s. Basically, it allows the state to go into debt to develop the state's agricultural resources by extending credit on real estate security in the manner and on the terms and conditions prescribed by law. So what's important here is that there has to be a real estate security, and it has to be basically to develop the state's agricultural resources. Because people at times have said, well, why can't we do other things with the money? But you always have to have, it has to be to develop the resources, and you have to have the security of a mortgage, basically. And so they are fairly unique user finance bonds. There are a few other places where the Constitution allows for this, but these are, I think this is the only one that really gets used since 1986.
Okay, any questions? Senator Nelson, I know you're on the bonding committee. Senator Miller's on it. And we talked about this last night a little bit in the committee, and so I thought we'd talk about it here in Ag so we can help support our agricultural industry. So, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about, I know at least in some parts of the state that ag land is very high right now, and I'm wondering how that is impacting this particular program as far as demand, and can you meet the demand, and can you describe that interrelation for us?
Commissioner Borboom.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's a very good question. We are seeing some diminished loan activity. In other words, the number of applications, if you look back in the previous 4 or 5 years, the level of activity has diminished. Increasing land values are a barrier to beginning farmers, entry-level farmers. So that is a challenge, and we recognize that. But at the same time, we are seeing the Farm Service Agency does provide what's called a beginning farmer down payment program, and that can be up to $300,000. And so an ag lender that's originating a loan request will actually look and bundle the RFA program with the FSA down payment program. And what when we look at these credits, we try to stay within a maximum a loan amount per acre of about $2,500. So even though the land values may be $6,000 or sometimes higher than that, we're just not in a position to start chasing inflated land values. So we're going to stay back at a much lower number. What that means, though, is that somebody else has to cover the down payment. FSA, in this case, will do that. It's a second mortgage behind the priority lien that the Rural Finance Authority has. So, again, to answer your question, it's a barrier. There are some tools or some resources to help manage that. And many times also in family operations, you will see family members that will assist in the financing as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Senator Kelash?
Yeah, just the reserves that you currently have, are those left over from the last bonding application, right? And on the, I guess we talked earlier about some revolving loans. Does this become revolving loans so that there's money accumulated in the fund as we spend the money and get the interest payments back, et cetera?
Commissioner Borboom.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, the cash balance that we have right now, the $13 million, that was from a bond sale. Help me, Steve, when did we make, pardon me? Yeah, but when did we do that? It was a sale. It was a 2009 authorization, but I think it was back last summer. We had a bond sale. The Department of Minnesota Management and Budget essentially has three bond sales within a two-year window. They usually do two sales on the even-numbered years and then one sale on the odd-numbered years. And so what our challenge is to try to forecast the level of loan activity and match that against whenever MMB sells the bonds. So we're going to carry cash like we have right now. And so that cash will probably last us actually about 9 months. And these programs, they're not a revolving loan, but they are, they kind of have that characteristic in that we need authorization to sell the bonds, take the cash, make the loan participations. The Rural Finance Authority buys a part of the loan. And then, again, the principal and interest receipts from those loan participation goes into another dedicated account, which is used to pay back the debt service on the bonds. So we're constantly coming back to the legislature about every 3 years asking for new authorization like we are with this request.
Okay. All right, no further questions?
Yeah.
Again, we ask that, and I know we've got some of the senators on the bonding committee, but we ask that you support the effort, and I don't know if anyone wants to make official motion that we recommend to the bonding committee these RFA programs, or if you just want to do that unofficially, what's the committee's wishes? Okay, we'll just lobby Senator Miller and Senator Nelson to support agriculture for us. So,
about Senator Brown.
Oh, that's right. Senator Brown's on
it. All kinds of members. You have half the committee on this.
Well, then it's a slam dunk. We've got her done. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. And, again, I just wanted the committee to have an understanding of what goes on with this as you hear discussions and we go through the talk about the bonding bill. Again, I think that'll finish the meeting today. Again, Thursday we'll talk about some energy issues. Senator Brown has a bill on wind easements, and talk to him about it if you're interested in that. I think a good bill, and we'll visit then about biofuels. We have some interesting stories to talk about. So with that, for this afternoon, we'll adjourn the Committee of Agriculture and Rural Economies. Thank you, everyone, for participating. We'll adjourn.